Welcome to All Well Stands Radio Show. I'm your host, Tim Metzger from Rapid City, South Dakota. So, continuing on these basics, one of the things that we have to look at is some of the judgments of God against mankind that are found in the Old Testament, particularly in Genesis. And we looked at the flood, and that's a very major one. The flood is something where, you know, everyone except for Noah, his sons, and all their wives, eight people in all, were obliterated from the face of the earth. And we're living in a time where those who aren't saved are, at some point, the world is going to go into another time of judgment called the tribulation. And that time period is going to happen after the believers, the Christians who are on the face of the earth, are raptured to be with the Lord, and then the earth will be thrown into this 7-year period of time, of which half of that period of time is going to have horrendous judgments against mankind, where it appears that around 90% of humanity will die during that 7-year time period. So if we believe God with the flood, which we should believe God's word, then we would understand that the coming time period that called the tribulation, or the time of Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah chapter 30 verse 7, is something that, you know, should be believed, and should be something that, you know, would cause somebody to inquire about God, inquire about Jesus Christ, inquire about salvation. And of course, if you have questions about salvation, please visit allwellstand.org and click on the salvation link, or in the upper right hand corner you can click on a PDF, What Jesus Did on the Cross. It's a Bible tract, but there's a lot of information up on the website, as well as numerous articles that deal with that, is in repentance and those type of issues. But today, as part of the Back to Basics programs, what we want to do is we want to just go ahead and, not in depth, but we want to cover two separate things, if time allows. And one of it is the Tower of Babel, and the other one is we want to go over Sodom and Gomorrah. And then perhaps we'll see what comes after that. All right, so as we get into the Tower of Babel, the setting for it is the flood has happened. It has ended. The repopulation of the earth has already been well underway. And so now we come to Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. And let me read until I'm done with this section. Now the whole earth was of one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a level valley in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them with burning." They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves that we not be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." Okay, so let me stop right there with verse 4. So these people are not obeying God whatsoever. In Genesis chapter 9 verse 1, the Bible says, "So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth.'" So what you have going on here is they are heading to one area. They're of one language. They're building a tower. And there might be a little bit more to this tower. So you notice they say they determine to build a tower whose top is in the heavens. Now, I'll just throw this tidbit in here, because if you actually think about it, I mean, where these people, how do you build a tower on top of the heavens? And I don't purport to have all the answers here, but what I will say is, if you were to do a side study of Jacob's ladder, there are some who suggest that there's these portals where angels descend back and forth to heaven, and that the Tower of Babel, where it was at, they knew where one of these locations were at, and therefore they weren't really trying to build it to heaven, which would be impossible, but they were, it says, whose top is in the heavens. They were trying to supposedly make it so that they could access that. Nonetheless, without knowing for certain, of course, it definitely got God's attention. So continuing on with verse 5. And Jehovah came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And Jehovah said, behold, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they devise to do will be withheld from them. Okay, so I'm going to stop right there. It's kind of a little tidbit there, you know, so God says nothing will be withheld from them, and they are doing this. So think about this in a couple different ways. One, with modern day technology, we are quickly getting to the point where we're not of one language, but being able to communicate many different ways, almost to the point where we're getting beyond that. And of course, we're nowhere near the end of that, but the amount of being able to communicate with people across the globe is incredible. I use Google Translate a little bit to communicate with people in a couple different countries. And, you know, it's not a perfect thing, but it does allow that communication to happen where otherwise it really would not. And I suppose if I wanted to reach out even more, that would be possible too. So it is still certainly a barrier, but it's a barrier that has begun to be softened. So let's take a look at what happened, because Genesis 11:7 explains, come, let us go down and there confuse their language that they cannot understand one another's speech. So that's God speaking. So why does it say let us? Well, God is a Trinity. There's three in one. So you have God the Father, God the Son, which is Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead. And then you have the Holy Spirit. And so those three are one. So it's not, you know, a whole group of gods as somebody listening to us in some portions of Africa or anywhere listening to us on the internet and a podcast might presume that, wow, there's multiple gods. No, there's one God. So continuing on verse 8. Chapter 11, verse 8. So Jehovah scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because there Jehovah confused the language of all the earth, and from there Jehovah scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. Okay, so let's go over a few things of that. We're just hitting it up on the basic portion of this. So first of all, everyone had one language. These stories, believe it or not, of the Tower of Babel are found, they can be found in ancient history, like Babylonian history on these cylinder student forms that they had, where it's recorded, you know, extra-biblical things verifying this, but this is the pure, the Bible is a pure story, the pure truth of the matter, whereas when we get into other cultures in ancient writings, we have a perverted text, but pointing back to still this account that is found here that God has made available for us. And so in those accounts, you can see that they just simply say it was a terrible thing, and God was very angry with man, and so there were suddenly different languages. And of course, people at that point, you know, I mean, you have, they are then in verse 9, and Jehovah scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. So we have all these different languages, which definitely slows down human progress, does it not? Human progress with the internet, for instance, that connectivity that is found throughout the globe it's amazing. It's not always a good thing, but it's amazing at the rate of speed in which things can go in a very bad, or you could say good, direction, but it's obviously going to go bad eventually. So this is why we have different languages all over. It's because of this event. This is why if I were to go to India, there's different languages spoken there, or Africa, there's multitude of different languages. And of course, we've lost a lot of languages over the years. And, you know, if I were to go to Central and South America, they speak Spanish, or Asia. So it all stems back from this event. And this was a judgment of God. It was a judgment of God against mankind because they were not, you know, filling the face of the earth. They decided to build a city and as one can, you know, build a tower, and God judged them. So let's take a look at another judgment, one that is perhaps pretty relevant for the way our society thinks nowadays and really testifies against our society nowadays. So our opinions matter none. God's opinion is what matters, and our opinion shouldn't be an opinion, but should be that of what God's truth speaks. So let's take a look at a different judgment. So we're going to start off just briefly mentioning Abram, who God renamed Abraham later on. In Genesis chapter 13, verse 12, and he had his brother Lot, and they went separate themselves. Lot chose, verse 11 says, for himself all the area around Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated each from the other. And so, looking at the second half of verse 12 in chapter 13, and Lot dwelt around the cities and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. And verse 13 gives us a little bit of a hint here. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly evil and sinful before Jehovah. So let's go ahead and take a look at how that went for them eventually. As I read through this, I want you to consider God's mercy in this first part, and consider his mercy that he has right now with actually the entire earth. And eventually that is going to run out, and right now is the time to, you know, seek God with your whole heart, to seek his free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. So let's go ahead and take a look at Genesis chapter 18, verses 22, and we will go ahead and finish out the chapter. And the men turned from there and went towards Sodom, but Abraham still stood before Jehovah. And Abraham approached and said, would you also sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city, would you also destroy the place and not spare for 50 righteous that were in it? So this is speaking about God. Let me back it up in his investigation, obviously knowing with Sodom and Gomorrah. But in chapter 18, verse 20 to 21, and Jehovah said, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and their sin is exceedingly heavy. I will go down and now see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me, and if not, I will know. So Abraham's knowing that God is going to judge that city. So the question is, he poses in verse 23, would you also sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Very good question. Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And Jehovah said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. So I'm just going to throw this out there. You ever wonder, if you're a believer listening to this, why God has you in one place? Why here? This might be a little tidbit to answer that. You know, that he has those who are his scattered here and there across the face of the earth. Continuing in verse 27, then Abraham answered and said, behold now, I who am but dust and ashes have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose there were 5 less than the 50 righteous. Would you destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find 45 there, I will not destroy it. And he spoke to him yet again and said, suppose there should be 40 found there. And he said, I would not do it for the sake of 40. Then he said again, Let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 should be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, Indeed, now I have taken upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 should be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. And he said, Let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak but once more. Suppose 10 should be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. And Jehovah went his way as soon as he had finished speaking of Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. So, I'm going to throw this in here too. Definitely not going to get in depth to this, and there's definitely articles that are found up on allwillstand.org that would answer these questions. His glorious appearing would be the one I would look for. Talking about the rapture. And so for those who say, well, no, the church and those who are truly saved, true believers, because most people who profess Christ are actually sadly not saved. It's not a topic for today. But the reality is, for those who say, well, no, everyone goes through the tribulation. Everyone goes through that time period. Really, everyone goes through that destruction. But here I find in Genesis chapter 18 that God's not going to have that destruction if he could find simply 10 in this city of how many people the Bible doesn't say. But let's go ahead and take a look at what happens to Sodom and Gomorrah. Take a look at Genesis chapter 19 now. And the two angels came to Sodom at evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And he said, Hear now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way. And they said, No, but we will spend the night in the open square. But he insisted strongly, so they turned in to him and entered his house. And he made them a feast, and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. But before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, surrounded the house. And they called to Lot and said to him, Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them. And Lot went out to them at the entrance and shut the door behind him and said, Please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. See now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please, let me bring them out to you, and do to them as is good in your eyes. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said, This one came in to sojourn, and he acts as a judge to condemn. Now we will deal worse with you than with him. And they pressed hard against the man, Lot, and came near to break down the door. But the men reached out their hands and brought Lot into the house with them and shut the door. Okay. The Bible says that Sodom was exceedingly wicked, evil city. What's going on here? What's going on here is you have men with a perverse heart who want nothing to do with the daughters of Lot, which would be bad enough. They want to know these two men. And when the Bible says no, it is in a manner that is definitely not proper. And so these men are so wicked. I want you to consider, these are two angels who came to town, who Lot invited to his house. And they obviously look like men. These people say, Well, we want to know these men. And these angels strike them with blindness. But the Bible says in verse 11, so that they became weary trying to find a door. Consider this. Here you have this town, this perverse town, where the term sodomy comes from. And they are struck blind. And that doesn't stop them. The fact that they can't see. I mean, Close your eyes for a minute. And try to feel the wall, if you're near a wall, or stuff that's around you. And then open your eyes and see exactly where it's at. These men were judged, were struck with blindness by these angels that God had sent to rescue Lot, Abraham's brother, from this wicked city. And the very fact that they were blind and they were still trying to find the door testifies of God's just judgment due upon these men. They were so wicked. This is not something that God could let wait until these men died. When, if you take a look at Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15, every person, including you listening to this radio show, will stand before God at the great white throne judgment individually. And unless your name is written in the book of life, you will be judged and you will be cast into the lake of fire. You will be cast into hell for all eternity without salvation through Jesus Christ. You can take a look at Acts 20:21, repentance towards God and faith in Jesus Christ. That's the key to salvation. Well, let's see what the angels say after this. So, starting in Genesis 19:12, and the men said to Lot, "Have you anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, whomever you have in this city, bring them out of this place. For we are destroying this place, because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of Jehovah. And Jehovah has sent us to destroy it." And Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-laws who had married his daughters and said, "Get up, get out of this place, for Jehovah is destroying this city." But to his son-in-laws, he seemed to be joking. So this is interesting. So obviously, Lot had other daughters and sons-in-laws. And that's all it says that he went to speak to. And they thought he was joking. Now, there's a lot of people who commentary on this, and I'm not one who reads commentaries, but I've heard that, Lot, obviously, he was saved. He wasn't obviously necessarily doing the best things. But, I don't know where we can definitely get some of these things from there, but to be very specific, the Bible simply doesn't say. But the sad thing is, here, Lot is told that this city is going to be destroyed. And so he does what any good dad would do. And he tries to, warn them. Go. Leave. But they don't take heed to that warning. So let's continue with chapter 19, verse 15. And when dawn had risen, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are found here, that you may not be consumed in the punishment of the city." And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hands, and the hands of his two daughters, Jehovah being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him down outside the city. So this, if you look here, there's some amazing things that happen here. So they're told, go, get out of here. And God is very merciful here. Because he's just lingering around. He's not leaving. He's not taking his wife and running. He's not taking his daughters and running out of the city. So that God being merciful to him, the angels actually bring him out. And if you know, set him down outside the city. This is as Lot had a little flight out of the city. Okay, now they give, let's talk about taking heed. Let me pick up the pace here a little bit. Verse 17, and it came to pass when they had brought them outside that he said, "Escape for your lives. Do not look behind you nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains lest you be destroyed." And Lot said to him, "Please, no, my lords. Behold, now your servant has found favor in your eyes and you have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die." So, see now, this city is near enough for you to, and it's a little one. Please let me escape there. Is it not a little one, and my soul shall live? And he said to them, see, I have favored you concerning this thing also, in that I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there. Therefore the city was called Zoar. The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then Jehovah rained brimstone and fire upon Sodom and Gomorrah from Jehovah out of the heavens. And he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, all the plants of the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Okay, I'm going to stop right there for a second. So, they were told not to look back. Lot's wife looked back. God is literally wiping these cities from the face of the earth, even destroying all the plant life. This is serious. And, of course, people are like, oh, yeah, pillar of salt. Wow. Tell you, Jesus says in Luke 17:32, remember Lot's wife. That is confirmation that this is a true event. And if Jesus himself is telling us to remember this and it's not true, then, I mean, that would pull some serious theological questions. But by every mean, I believe the Bible, and I definitely believe what God says. So this is not, you know, something to be taken lightly. So let me finish up here. Verse 27, Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before Jehovah, and he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah and towards all the land of the plain, and he saw, and behold, the smoke of the land went up like the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. So God had mercy on Lot, on Lot's wife, who unfortunately didn't obey, and Lot's two daughters, those two daughters who were still at home with Lot and his wife. And he saved them, and with a very supernatural thing, what it appears that literally the angels had to actually drag. It appears that they were up in the air and set them down. To be set down, you had to be up, would be the logical conclusion here. But these are God's judgments. Two of them, we looked at the Tower of Babel, and we looked at Sodom and Gomorrah. And something that just sets a stage for a characteristic of God that, unfortunately, a lot of people want to ignore. Well, dear listener, the reality is, one day you will die. Whether it's today or 100 years from now, you will die. And unless you have accepted the free gift of salvation, there's, take a look at God's mercy, take a look at how God got Lot out of that area. I mean, the whole city was wicked, and there wasn't 10 people there who were righteous, but God did take out these four people and ensured they weren't there. And unfortunately, Lot's wife looked back, and so she was escaped, but she was still judged. She didn't listen. She didn't take that heed. And, you know, of course, the story has a sad turn of events a little bit, as if you were to continue reading Genesis chapter 19, but that's not the purpose of the Back to the Basics program. So, sin is something that God will deal with. And sin is something that God has to deal with. And sometimes it requires God's direct intervention. That's what we looked at these two events today, or we had taken a look at the flood. That's the most major event that will have happened until we get into the tribulation. In fact, the tribulation is in some ways worse, because after the rapture, there's not one single saved person left on the face of the earth at that very moment, whereas at least back in the flood with Noah, you still had some righteousness that dwelt on the face of the earth. But anyway, that wraps up our show for today and our look into that, as it is the Back to the Basics program. So we could make that several different discussions, but for the sake of that, that's all we're going to look at regarding that. So you can visit the website at allwillstand.org if you have questions about salvation. Please click on the salvation link, and as always, you could email me if you desire at tim@allwillstand.org.